Hey everybody, this is Rich Palmer with the Miami Valley Music Cast, and you are listening to the most laid-back dean I have ever met, Dave Jackson with the School of Podcasting.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Thank you, Rich Palmer. Hey, you can check out his podcast over at richpalmer.com/podcasts. This is the morning announcements. I am Dave Jackson, your host. This is the official podcast of theschoolofpodcasting.com, where we help you straighten out the learning curve. Hey, what do you think of that one? That's the new one. It was either that or helping you get your point across. And no, that's not my radio. Well, I guess it is a little bit of my radio voice there. But hey, you know, it's weird. I've been home almost a week. Because we're going to have some excerpts from the expo today. We're going to be talking to the feed burner booth. It's just going to be like you were there, including all the noise, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's weird. I've been home almost a week. The week's already gone by, and I swear I blinked, and it's like it's Thursday. The weekend's almost here again. It's snowing in Ohio. I did the thing this morning. I hate this, where you're pumping gas into your car, and you swear like the temperature drops 15 degrees while you're pumping your gas. The wind's blowing. It's November. There's nothing you can do. You can't get around that. In the show today, we will have the feed burner guys, and I've got another resource for you. So I was talking to John Zaratsky. In fact, today I emailed him. Everybody's talking about downloads and stats, and there are really two schools of thinking. You know, some people don't want to advertise in podcasts, and some of those that do are really interested in downloads, and some are interested in subscribers. And I said, okay, so I sent a letter to John. I said, is it like this? Your podcast is a dress in the window, and your subscribers, you know, your feed burner stats, are the number of people who pass by the window. Then the downloads in your website stats are the number of people who actually, you know, download the show. You know, so it's kind of like the subscribers are the people that stop by every day, but the people that download it are, you know, people that buy it. Is that kind of close? And he very politely said, it's remotely close, but not close enough. Translation, no. No, Dave, you're wrong. That's me. I'm putting that in. So he came up with a better one. This is like this. Your podcast is a dress in a window. The downloads in your website stats are the number of people who tried on the dress, and some may have actually bought it. Your subscribers are the people who stop by your store every day to see if you have any new products in and then automatically try on every new product. He says, you know, you get the difference. Now, the downloads are really important, but the subscribers represent a subset of the downloaders that have explicitly said, I like this. I want to know when you have content available. But the more your downloads come from subscribers, a comparison, he says, they're actually working on exposing, you know, the better. So they're always working on new stuff at Feedburner. That's what's kind of cool. And if I haven't mentioned it yet, the service is free. Now, they've got some cool stuff. Like, I use their pro stats. But you don't have to. You can still see how many subscribers you have. You just get more information about those subscribers when you use the pro stats. He's going to talk about another service. They have a bunch of stuff that I didn't know. I talked about in the previous podcast the service they have where you can have people sign up by email to be notified when there's a new store in case you have, you know, maybe an older crowd that's not hip to the RSS thing. The other thing that's kind of interesting about this file we're going to be listening to, so you get kind of a tutorial here, it's on the expo floor. Demos to the left of me, demos to the right. So it's just chaotic background noise. So I ran it. Part of the talk here goes through nothing. And then about halfway through my question, I turned on a software called Sound Soap. And I'll be honest, I didn't spend a lot of time trying to clean it up. I just kind of went, yeah, okay, close enough. So it actually ends up sounding, oddly enough, with a name like Sound Soap, like we're in a bathroom. Once I tune out some of the background noise. So you'll hear that about partway through. But here is my talk from the expo floor last weekend in Ontario, California, with John Zaratsky of Feedburner. Check him out at feedburner.com.
We're with John from Feedburner. And my question was, there are a lot of people that get paranoid about if because I like Feedburner, I use it. It's easy, a lot of really great things about it, but some people get really nervous about, well, if I put my feed into Feedburner and then later I want to change it, I'm kind of locked into Feedburner.
Yeah, that's something that we've heard for a long time, something that we're kind of always thinking about. We've got a few different ways of helping people avoid that paranoia, you know, kind of put their concerns at ease. Probably the most common and simple way is to, rather than just using Feedburner and giving out your Feedburner URL to everyone, is to set up a redirect on your web server. So let's say your old feed was at, you know, mydomain.com/index.xml. What you could do is actually redirect that file to your Feedburner feed. So anybody that's already subscribed gets automatically moved over to the new feed. And then if you stop to use Feedburner, you just say, oh, my feed is actually, you just turn off the redirect. People are still accessing index.xml. Totally seamless. One other thing, well, actually, there are two other things. We've got this service, it's 30-day redirection. If you decide you want to leave Feedburner, if you delete your feed, if you want to cancel your account, we will redirect traffic to your Feedburner feed back to your original feed for 30 days. We do it as a permanent redirect, so that feed readers and services like that will notice that your feed has permanently changed its location, and they will update their records so that you don't have to worry about it.
Cool.
And finally, and this is, I guess, more of a pitch, we've got a service, one of our premium services. I think it starts at $3 a month. It's called MyBrand, and it lets you map a subdomain to Feedburner. So rather than having a URL that's like feeds.feedburner.com/mypodcast, you can have feeds.mydomain.com/mypodcast. And that's totally transparent, because not only do you have the option of, you know, leaving Feedburner and just totally going back to, you know, going back to hosting your own feed and nobody knows the difference, but even when people type in your URL, they're not getting redirected to Feedburner. That URL is staying in their browser, staying in their newsreader, so it's totally transparent.
Right.
People can't even see that you're using the Feedburner.
That's very cool. Wow.
So
I like that. All right. The other thing I wanted to just point out is, well, tell us, it's kind of weird because I know the answers to these. I had somebody, for instance, ask me the other day, he was trying to hand code his iTunes tags. And he said, how do you do that? I said, I just went into Feedburner and went click, click, click. And he's like, oh, I didn't even think about that. What are some of let's go that route. What are some of the mistakes you see maybe that people make with your service? Because it is pretty easy to use. It's hard to kind of screw up. But from a standpoint, do you see anything that people are going or things that maybe you get calls on?
Yeah, there are a bunch of things. You know, we've got one thing that's kind of cool about our company is everybody in the company does support. So we got a really good sense of what's coming in. And there are a bunch of really common questions. But nothing huge. And usually they're related to what happened to the feed before it came into Feedburner, not actually problems within Feedburner itself. One of the really common ones we were just working on the other day is people type or edit a blog post like in Microsoft Word and then they copy it over.
Nice.
Because Word is XML friendly, supposedly, it moves a bunch of tags over that come through in your feed, and then we say, oh, your feed's not valid. You say, well, why not? You know, it's just a blogger feed. We see that a lot. We see problems with enclosures, podcast enclosures a lot. Some web servers will return your audio file with a MIME type of text rather than audio, and we won't properly sense that it is an audio file then. Things like that. A slow response time from your host, you know, from your server when we ask for the feed. But generally, you know, I think what you said is true. And I'm not just saying this because I work at Feedburner, but it was true before I worked there. It's hard to screw up. You know, that's really our business is keeping people from screwing up things.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, hey, thanks, man. Yeah. Like I said, do you want to stop by, say hi?
Thank you.
Love your service.
I'm glad you stopped.
All right, as always, I like to leave you with at least one of the resources, since this is the public version. Of course, if you sign up, there is a student's version where I explain some of the more things that I've added to the already hundreds of resources at theschoolpodcasting.com. And if you're looking for multi-tracking advice, I heard this phrase come up a lot. Well, by a lot, I mean 4 times over the weekend, but it was a name I hadn't heard of, and I looked at it, and it looks like a pretty cool piece of software. It's called NTrack. It's another, you know, we've talked, at the school at least, we've talked about some other titles that, you know, like Sony Acid and multi-tracking.
which I'm actually, this is actually being done in Sony Acid. And there's one called N-Track. So it's a, you know, it's an audio MIDI. Also uses MIDI digital multi-track recording that transforms here. Well, let me put on my puke voice. The recorder that transforms your PC into a powerful audio recording studio. You can record, playback, overdub, just like with a tape multi-track recorder, but you can exploit the flexibility and power of today's PCs for applying effects, real-time input processing, automated auxiliary channel sends and returns, destructive and non-destructive wave editing. All right, enough for my official announcer voice. So that's over at n-track.com if you want to look into that. One of the many software titles, which just means here's another one I get to make a tutorial for. Lovely. So I want to thank everyone for taking time to listen to the podcast. We'll have another one out soon with more excerpts from the expo. Thank you very much. Tell a friend. And for more information, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com. We've got a show right there for the, you can link right to the show notes. Thank you very much. I'm Dave Jackson, helping you straighten out the learning curve at theschoolofpodcasting.com. We'll see you.